Part B, EPA's designation of Lake and Porter Counties, Indiana, as non-attainment, argued by Mr. Junk. EPA's designation of Wise County, Texas, as non-attainment, argued by Mr. Martella and Mr. Rubenstein. And EPA's response, argued by Ms. O'Donnell.
May it please the Court, I am Tim Junk with the State of Indiana. We're presenting the issue to this Court that when one state in a multi-state area intentionally violates its SIP and in fact causes the lone ozone exceedance in that state, is it unreasonable for EPA to designate portions of the adjacent state as non-attainment and thus require the adjacent state to help remedy the violation? Based upon the 2008-2010 data, all of the air monitors in northwest Indiana were at 10 to 20% below the ambient air violation level. The entire area and Chicago area was poised to be declared as an attainment area when, surprisingly, in December of 2011, Illinois submitted its 2011 data 5 months earlier than required. As Indiana would later learn, the data showed a lone ozone violation 60 miles away in Zion, Illinois, just one part per billion over the ambient air level that would be allowable. In light of this ozone violation, EPA reversed course on January 31, 2012, sent a letter to the state indicating that it intended to designate three counties in Indiana as non-attainment. The January 31, 2012 date is significant because that was exactly 120 days before the Wild Earth deadline in which EPA was required to make the designation. This is being driven by the deadline. With the Wild Earth deadline ticking away, EPA's letter of January 31st acknowledges that Illinois had suddenly created a, quote, unique situation, unquote, in which a state had submitted its monitoring data early and which shows a lone violation of the ambient air standards. This case is also unique because in 2007, Illinois passed statutes which abandoned the vehicle emission testing for cars from 1968 to 1995. Since 1999, Illinois statutes and its state implementation plan required the testing of older vehicles in order to meet and attain and maintain the ambient air standards. For 4 years after these rogue statutes.
So is the point that, at least one of the points, Illinois violated SIP?
Yes.
So isn't there another place where that's supposed to be taken care of, not here?
Shame on Illinois, shame on EPA, but our air was in compliance. Mm-hmm. And
what's the process when a state violates its SIP?
Well, I imagine EPA can issue a SIP call and, mm-hmm. and require the state. But EPA didn't do this. They sat back and just watched. Mm-hmm. And when the inevitable deterioration of air quality occurred, it named everyone in the metro area as in non-attainment. EPA starts its analysis with the metro area presumption, which was specifically authorized by this court in its Catawba decision. And that presumption is good when all the states are playing by the rules and they're acting in compliance. But this case is an outlier because Illinois had intentionally violated its SIP by passing statutes that allowed older cars to be exempted. And we submitted evidence, it's uncontested, our evidence is uncontested, that the statutes were a violation of federal law under the Supremacy Clause, and that the only modeling that's available, the modeling shows, and it's uncontested, that had Illinois tested the older vehicles, then the air at the Zion Monitor would have been in attainment.
So what would be your standard for us to determine when this rule that you propose kicks in? In other words, you're basing it on some deficiency in the Illinois process.
Yes, I think when there's intentional causation, they should be forced to look at that and not just fall back on the presumptions and fall back on contribution. When there's intentional causation under the notion of cooperative federalism, we should be looking at the party that's not cooperating, not putting more stringent requirements on the party that is cooperating. We've been in compliance. We're saying enforce what's necessary to be enforced in Illinois and make them comply because that's going to address, that is the cause of the ozone violation.
But what would you have us find? In other words, we'd have to make some determination about Illinois' alleged misconduct before we trigger relief.
Yes.
For you.
And I think the problem here is the Wild Earth deadline put everyone under a short time frame. EPA was sandwiched between a deadline and a lot of new submission from Illinois, and then from Indiana. And after Indiana's submission, they had less than 6 weeks before they had to make a decision. We suggest remand it to EPA, tell them to make a decision looking at the causation evidence, and in light of the causation evidence, as per page 28 of Catawba, in light of evidence to the contrary, don't rely on the presumption, look at the causation, and make the determination of attainment based on that. Thank you.
We'll hear from Mr. Martella.
May it please the Court, and good morning. My name is Roger Martella, here on behalf of the Wise County petitioners. When EPA makes a non-attainment determination, the test and the framework and the outcome cannot change based on the EPA region where that county happens to be located. This Court held in Catawba that EPA must treat similar counties similarly, and EPA violated that principle here by holding Wise County, a county that's downwind 95% of the time, to be non-attainment, versus four other regions that took fundamentally different approaches and would have decided the issue separately. This Court held in Catawba that a reasonable approach in the abstract becomes arbitrary when EPA applies it inconsistently across the different regions. And we show the arbitrariness and the inconsistent application in three different ways. First of all, the decision would have been different if it was decided by EPA's Regions 3 or Region 4. And the most obvious example of this is York County in Pennsylvania. In York County, EPA looked at high split data and found that on exceedance days, the wind was more likely to pass through York County than any other county in the region, and that York County may contribute to violations. It made a similar conclusion for Dauphin County. Region 6 also looked at the high split data for Wise County and found and confirmed TCEQ's assumption that Wise County was upwind about 5% of the time, and that out of 3,900 data points, there were about 7 back trajectories in 5 years. But Region 6 applied a different standard than Region 3 and said the fact that the wind went through Wise County at times was sufficient to hold Wise County in non-attainment, even though for York County, the wind predominantly went through York County and contributed, but was held to be in attainment.
So that's looking at wind alone?
Yes.
And I guess you wouldn't disagree with the proposition that even if you looked at wind alone and you see some sort of tension of the nature that you're describing, that if you look at other considerations in the multi-factor analysis, that could justify reaching a different conclusion for the two counties.
That's correct, Your Honor. We recognize that EPA is applying a five-factor test, and we have no dispute with applying a five-factor test. The concern we have is that they're applying it inconsistently among the regions. EPA says we're balancing all five factors, but if you line up the other four factors, Wise County is as good as, if not better, on each of the other four factors and every county that we're looking at. So the only factor that's
remained. I thought with Pennsylvania counties, at least part of the explanation was that you're talking about a different jurisdiction. There were reasons to treat. I forget which the violating county was. Lancaster. The violating county is one distinct entity, divorced from the two counties you're talking about. Whereas in the Wise County, Dallas metroplex area, there weren't the same considerations that would suggest disaggregating Wise County.
It is true that EPA in the briefs does try to parse some distinctions between the Pennsylvania counties and Wise County, but none of those distinctions are material when you're looking at the five factors. For one thing, for example, they say, well, Wise County, when you compare it to the other Dallas counties, has relatively high emissions. It ranks like number 4, number 5 in some ways. Well, York County is number 1 in that region, and this is an area where the wind is predominantly flowing through York County. So when you really break apart the five-factor test, and this court said you need to do so in the Lemoyne College test, where the court said you can't look at a multi-factor totality of circumstances test as a cloak for agency whim or worse, when you break it down as we do in the briefs, you see that meteorology is really the only distinguishing factor that has a material difference, and that is where meteorology has been inconsistently applied by the different EPA regions. And another example of that is Region 2. Region 2 looked more at historical meteorological data and looked at two counties that were upwind 5 to 11% of the time.
Which were the counties you're talking about?
Orange County and Cattaraugus counties, Your Honor. These are in New York. And so Orange County is upwind 11% of the time. Cattaraugus County is upwind 5 to 8% of the time. But for Orange County, EPA held that it was generally not upwind. For Cattaraugus County, it held it was prevailingly downwind. Again, Wise County is 5% as well. If Wise County were in Region 2, it would have been held downwind as well. As a matter of fact, we looked at 9 instances where EPA deemed counties to be in attainment that were upwind more than 20% of the time. So we have this inconsistency in the approaches that EPA is taking.
Another geographic question I thought was that Wise County was just a half a mile away from the violating monitor, while in both of the other circumstances they were considerably further from the monitor.
And as a matter of simple geography and looking at a map, that's true, that the borderline in Wise County is half a mile away from the monitor. It's an argument that's emphasized in the briefs, not so much in the administrative record.
It's a half, it's a half mile compared to between 50 and 30 miles.
Well, if I could start with the half mile point, the key thing to understand, again, you have to take it back to meteorology. If Wise County, if the monitor is here and Wise County is a half a mile in this direction, what we have to appreciate is looking at it in context is the entire Dallas-Fort Worth area is here. And Texas has shown the winds come from the south and the southeast. Our spaghetti chart on page 23 shows that. So it doesn't matter if it's a half a mile away, if it's a half a mile away in the downwind direction. The point is it's not contributing.
It's not always in that direction, right?
95% of the time.
Yeah, so I suppose it depends on when the 5% occurs.
Yes, and if you look at when the 5% occurs, Texas has shown there were 7 trajectories in 5 years. And again, if we look at the fact going back to York County, the predominant wind direction was from York County, could contribute. The fact that it's a half mile away versus York County, which may be 20 miles away, it demonstrates that EPA is taking an inconsistent application in the way it looks at these issues. The last inconsistency is with EPA Region 5. And this, we've heard a lot of talk about Chicago. This is where Chicago sits. Source apportionment modeling, there were 2 flat-out inconsistencies with the way Region 6 and Region 5 approached source apportionment modeling. First of all, Region 5 in Chicago accepted the data as submitted by the state. Region 6 immediately took the data and manipulated it. But even more importantly than that, Region 5 applied a test that looked at the average contributions from one county to another. Region 6 looked at the maximum contributions from one county to another. If this test had been applied the same in Region 5 and Region 6, the outcome would have been the exact opposite for Wise County.
Questions? Thank you. From the bench? Thank you. We'll hear now from the state and county petitioners, Texas and Wise County.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Reed Rubenstein, on behalf of Wise County and the state of Texas. I also note that the county attorney, Thomas Alberg, is here in court with us. What's, I think, become abundantly clear from this morning's argument is that Cass Sunstein was absolutely right when he said that the primary challenge of the regulatory state is excessive discretion, and discretionary justice. What happened to Wise County, as the briefs I think make clear and as the record makes clear, is absolutely this, discretionary justice. Sunstein says that the solution is to require the rule of law and rule of law principles to operate at the agency level, to require the agency to cabin its own discretion before the fact. Did not happen here. And in the briefs, the EPA says, not now, not here. It has absolute discretion whenever it wants, for any reason or no reason, to override the state of Texas and to conscript the state and the county into the federal bureaucracy under penalty of a loss of $3 billion or more in federal highway fund for roads, transportation, infrastructure, mass transit, to do what EPA wants with respect to this non-attainment determination. What EPA claims, though, is contrary to the controlling authority of the Supreme Court in this court. In the briefs, we talked some length about the 10th Amendment and the NFIB decision and how we believe that controls here. Catawba does afford, as this court has ruled, that the EPA does have discretion to define statutory terms. But Catawba must be read consistently with this court's other precedents, the International Union case, which required OSHA to send OSHA back to define, in effect, its discretion and to cabin its own authority pursuant to a broad statutory grant analogous to the Clean Air Act. And finally, just a word or so about the Information Quality Act, because had EPA been transparent and been accountable, I don't think we'd be in quite the situation we are here, certainly not with Wise County. The IQA is a regulatory Daubert, or a NEPA, as I think we described it in the briefs. The EPA had to comply with OMB's guidance. This court has termed the OMB guidelines legislative rules. They were issued pursuant to notice and comment. This was not something EPA could choose to do or not to do. They had to demonstrate compliance, and they did not do so. Reserving the rest of the time, I guess, for rebuttal and any questions the court might have.
Questions from the bench?
Thank you.
All We'll hear now from the EPA.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Jessica O'Donnell here today on behalf of EPA. EPA reasonably and consistently applied its multi-factor analysis upheld by this Court in Ketama in determining that Lake and Porter counties in Indiana and Wise County in Texas contribute to violations of the 2008 ozone NAAQS in nearby areas.
Can I ask you, what's your response to Indiana's argument that however reasonable this general position is, it becomes unreasonable when faced with a non-attaining state that intentionally is violating its SIP?
Well, I think that with regard to Illinois' contribution, that doesn't negate that Indiana does contribute to violations of the standard.
Can I just ask, is there evidence that if Illinois had not, one question is Illinois violating, did they violate the SIP? And second, if it did, is there evidence that it would be in attainment rather than non-attainment?
Okay, with respect to the first question, Illinois did submit a SIP revision to EPA seeking approval to change its vehicle emission testing program, the program that Indiana says Illinois is violating. Mm-hmm. Indiana approved that SIP revision, and Indiana EPA just recently approved that SIP revision, allowing those changes in Illinois' vehicle emission testing program to go forward, and so they are not illegal changes. Mm-hmm. Indiana has challenged EPA's decision, and so that process, that SIP revision process, is another avenue for Indiana and is the appropriate avenue for Indiana to be raising its concerns with EPA about Illinois' compliance with its SIP.
Are you able to answer the question? I don't know whether the record permits it. Answer the question whether had Illinois not changed its motor vehicle rules, it would be in attainment rather than the area would be in attainment rather than...
I don't think there's information in the record showing that had Illinois not changed its vehicle emission testing program, the area would be in attainment. Mm-hmm. Moreover, the evidence in the record, including evidence that Indiana submitted itself, shows that Indiana contributes to violations of the standard of the 2008 NAAQS the Zion Monitor.
Well, I got that, but let me ask as a hypothetical. Imagine you had a state which could be in attainment by following the same motor vehicle rules as its neighboring states, but intentionally, I don't mean that in a pejorative, just intentionally decides not to, and that's the only reason that it's in non-attainment. Would that be fair and reasonable for the neighboring state, which is following the stricter rule, to be responsible and therefore be in non-attainment?
Well, with regard to responsibility, the designation process looks at which areas are contributing to the standard, not which areas cause.
I understand you could say that they're contributing, but I'm asking whether it's a reasonable rule under those circumstances when the state that is in itself is in non-attainment is the sole cause by having changed its own rule. I appreciate then another state then becomes part of the cause, but does EPA not consider that at all?
EPA does not consider whether a particular area alone is the sole cause of a violation of the NAAQS. EPA looks at whether areas...
So what's the incentive for us? Why doesn't that give the downwind state an incentive to make it as easy as possible for its industry or its commuting public to cause emissions, knowing that that will be solved by further reducing, by requiring the upwind state to continue to put the squeeze on its commuters, its industry, et cetera?
Well, it's sort of outside the purpose of the designations. The purpose of the designations is to designate or just merely identify those areas that are contributing to the problem. There is another process under the Clean Air Act, the SIP process, which is where EPA determines how much a particular state needs to do to achieve attainment of the NAAQS. And so that is the appropriate process for EPA to be considering how much a particular state or particular area needs to do to bring it and how much it, you know, is responsible for the violations at a particular monitor. But when EPA is designating areas, the purpose is to include all the counties or all the areas that are contributing to that violation.
And can you tell us generally what the reason for approving the lessening of the restrictions on Illinois drivers?
Yes. The EPA determined that the state had provided an I don't have detailed information about detailed knowledge. I just learned about this recently. But the state had provided comparable emissions reductions from other sources, and that was the basis for EPA approving the change to Illinois' SIP provision.
Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
Sure. Unless there are further questions on Indiana, I'll move on to the Wise County petitioner's arguments. The primary flaw, I think, of the Wise County petitioner's arguments is that it relies on criticisms of individual factors and comparisons of Wise County to other dissimilar counties in different parts of the country, misunderstanding the nature of EPA's multi-factor contribution analysis, which is driven by a case-by-case analysis of the particular facts and circumstances of each area and not any one particular factor or any one particular method of analysis. Petitioners fail to recognize that the Wise County area the Dallas-Fort Worth area is unique. It is not a situation where EPA treated areas in the same region inconsistently or the same parts of the country inconsistently. The Dallas-Fort Worth area has the distinction of being among one of the worst having some of the worst ozone problems in the country. Its design values are higher than most other areas except within California. EPA determined that Wise County is only a half a mile from, as Judge Garland pointed out, only a half a mile from the violating monitor. That often sets the design value for the entire Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that frequently exceeds the NAAQS by 10 parts per billion at a time. EPA also determined that the county is growing and becoming more populous and more connected to the urban core, indicating a greater contribution. And EPA also analyzed meteorology data, which indicated that on those days when the ozone concentrations are at the highest at the nearby violating monitors, the meteorological conditions do allow for transport of emissions from Wise County to the violating monitors. It's based on all of these factors, and I submit that these factors provide a compelling case for the designation of Wise County or for EPA's conclusion that Wise County contributes to violations in nearby areas. Now, with regard to the industry petitioner's arguments that EPA treated other areas inconsistently, petitioners have not demonstrated that these areas are similarly situated to Wise County. EPA is not arguing that the counties need to be identical, but the facts clearly show that Orange County in New York, York County, and some of the other counties that the industry petitioners mentioned are not similarly situated. None of them are associated with metropolitan areas that experience the same level of ozone problems as the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And none of them is within a half a mile of a violating monitor that exceeds the standard by perhaps 10 parts per billion at a time. With regard to Orange County, petitioners rely on the distinction between EPA's analysis of the historical wind data in Orange County and the EPA's use of high-split modeling with regard to Wise County, Texas. EPA fully explained in the administrative record why it thought its use of high-split modeling was appropriate with regard to the Wise County area in particular. High-split modeling is a method that the EPA has used in its designations process. This court approved its use in the ATK case. In the ozone designations, EPA used the high split modeling in approximately 16 different counties. And in the other counties, it looked more at historical wind data. Some of the time, the data was provided by the states themselves. Some of the time, EPA generated the information. So it is not inconsistent for EPA or did not apply that methodology to analyze the meteorology factor solely with respect to Wise County. In addition, that wasn't the only factor that EPA relied on. I noted at the beginning of my remarks all the factors that EPA looked at that compel the conclusion that Wise County should be included as part of the Dallas-Fort Worth non-attainment area. EPA explained that the use of high split was particularly appropriate given the particular facts and circumstances of the Wise County or the Dallas-Fort Worth area. EPA had historical information, meteorological information that it studied, that it had collected. It had the state's submission of its conceptual model of when high ozone when high ozone days occurred in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And a good part of the time, EPA concluded that winds were light and variable on the days where they had the highest ozone concentration. It was in particularly in those circumstances where EPA concluded that the high split model would provide useful information. EPA simply relied on the best information before it, and its analysis of Wise County versus other counties is not inconsistent. I'll next move on to industry petitioner's argument that EPA inconsistently applied source apportionment modeling data with regard to the Wise County in compared to how EPA used that information in Chicago. I will first point out that EPA, in analyzing the designations, relies in large part on information submitted by the states. The statute requires states to submit the initial recommended designations, and with that, they typically submit technical analyses that EPA uses in its five-factor analysis. Chicago did not provide the same information on source apportionment modeling that Texas did, and so it was simply impossible for EPA to do the same analysis for both counties. And I can point you to the pages in the administrative record that shows that EPA did not have the same information. The TCEQ data starts on page JA-1475 and goes to page 1483, and the Indiana information starts on JA-1525. What Indiana had provided was simply the average impact predicted by the model for a particular coming from particular source areas. TCEQ had provided EPA with much more detailed information about the model runs that it had done, and EPA did not disregard the information that Texas provided, and it did not apply it inconsistently. It simply, in keeping with its five-factor analysis, evaluated all the information before, and EPA concluded that the source apportionment modeling information that Texas had submitted, as well as all the other information that it considered, indicated that Wise County contributed to violations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What petitioners, particularly the Texas petitioners, would like EPA to do is use particular source apportionment modeling results that the Texas petitioners prefer as a bright-line test for whether this area contributes to violations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's inconsistent with EPA's guidance for doing the designations, which sets forth the five-factor contribution analysis. It's also inconsistent with EPA's own guidance that petitioners point to. Petitioners say that EPA's guidance requires a relative approach. That's not, in fact, what the guidance requires. The guidance requires that EPA consider all the information before it in a attainment demonstration and determine what the appropriate weight is for various pieces of information, including modeling information, meteorological information, and weigh it according to its credibility, which is exactly what EPA did here. If there are no further questions.
Are there questions? Okay.
As I said earlier, EPA reasonably and consistently applied its longstanding interpretation of the Clean Air Act to determine which areas attain and which areas do not attain the 2008 ozone NAAQS. Just as this court found in Catawba, EPA's rigorous analysis of all the factors relating to particular areas satisfies its duty of reasoned decision-making, and therefore this court should deny all of the petitions and uphold EPA's designations. Thank you.
Let me ask again, is there time from anybody? Okay, now this time EPA ran out the clock. However, since this is not a football game, we will give you each 1 minute and additional 1 minute on top of whatever time Mr. Rubenstein saved.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Tim Junk. I want to make 2 points in response to EPA. First of all, the information is in the record at pages Joint Appendix 1539 to 1542. The very last sentence of that section concludes that had the vehicle emission testing been implemented in Illinois as appropriate, the Zion monitor would have been in compliance.
Can I just ask about that? I this is a very long record, so you can, of course, correct me. I had the impression that the that your position was that the Zion monitor would have gone down 0.002 parts per million, but the Zion monitor was up 0.004 parts per million. So it would not be, that wouldn't solve the problem.
No, Your Honor. The contribution from vehicle from the failure to test vehicles was 2 parts per billion.
Yes.
The Zion monitor registered 1 part per billion over. So if you subtract the 2, you're down below.
What page of the record is that?
Joint Appendix 1539 through 1542, the concluding sentence concludes that the Zion monitor would be in compliance but for the failure to test vehicles in Illinois. The second point I wanted to make, Your Honor, if I may.
Please.
They mentioned the SIP revision, but that all occurs, to my knowledge, that all occurred after these designations were made. And sometime thereafter, 5 years after these rogue statutes were enacted, Illinois has come and asked for a SIP revision. EPA has approved it as of August, and the deadline for appeal was in October this month. It's being taken forward in the Seventh Circuit. But this is all after the fact, trying to correct or allow Illinois to no longer test the vehicle emissions that they were supposed to test since 1999. That was not part of the consideration for the designations.
Could you just bear with me for 1 second? I just want to check one thing. So at JA 1540, it says that the violation was at 0.004 parts per million. Not 0.01. And that your 0.002 parts per million is only half that amount. Is that wrong? I'm not saying this is dispositive, but I do want to figure out what the facts are.
Well, I'd have to read this more to respond to your answer, or to answer, Your Honor. I would point you to 1542, where the concluding sentence is that if the model difference is applied to the current design value for the Zion site, the value would be 73.6 ppb, which would be in compliance with the standard.
Does that include a remodeling based on your views about how well the modeling was done?
Our views about how well the modeling was
yes,
done?
Yes. Is that based on your view that the modeling was too conservative?
It's the only modeling we have. If mm-hmm. EPA had done this properly, Illinois had done this properly, mm-hmm. they would have submitted modeling saying we don't have to test our older cars anymore. Mm-hmm. They didn't do the modeling. EPA didn't review the modeling. We had a short time frame in which to do the modeling. We did the only modeling that's available, and our modeling shows that if the model difference is applied to the current design value for the Zion site, the value would be 73.6 part per billion and within compliance of the standard.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Martella.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you for the rebuttal opportunity. EPA says we're ignoring the multi-factor test. Our response to that is that they're invoking it as a cloak. if you actually look at the five factors they refer to, it demonstrates exactly our point at every step why Wise County is being treated differently than any other county that the EPA regions that we're looking at have addressed. If you look at the other four factors beyond meteorology, Wise County is dwarfed by virtually every other county we're talking about. EPA points to three things that they believe make the difference. Let me point out, first of all, none of these three things are actually the four factors. They're considerations among the four factors. Meteorology is the driver in the decision-making here. The first thing that's mentioned is the growth rate that Wise County is growing, but Wise County still has the lowest population density of any of the counties we've looked at, and they ignore the fact that Texas has indicated that the Wise County emissions are dropping by 25% because of better technologies. The second factor is that Dallas is unique. This exactly makes our point. Catawba holds that EPA is supposed to be applying a consistent methodology among the regions. The fact that Dallas might be unique doesn't enable it to justify holding a county that's downwind 95% of the time when other regions would have said that this should have been an attainment. And then finally, on the half-mile distance point, we did talk about that. An inch is as good as a mile. If it's a half mile in the downwind direction, it doesn't matter if it's a half mile or 20 miles. The fact is the wind is not contributing or flowing in a way that contributes to the non-attainment monitors. Thank you again, Your Honor.
Thank you. Questions from the bench?
Yeah, the black box decision-making, the five-factor test here really is a cloak. Wise County is about 923 square miles in size. Its population is about 59,127 on any given day in the entire county. In terms of vehicle miles traveled, it is about a fraction of a percentage of the total Dallas-Fort Worth area. But what is important and why the reason why EPA admitted that Wise County was deemed non-attainment is because it is part of the Barnett Shale geologic formation and one of America's most important oil and natural gas fields. So there are oil and gas wells there. And there's a lot of fracking that goes on there. And EPA Region 6 Administrator, the one who was forced to resign because he talked about an enforcement strategy that was really likened to crucifixion, was a very vocal opponent of fracking and of oil and gas exploration, said it was a threat to the air quality in the United States and all across the globe. And so when EPA changed the way that it handles the scientific analysis and understand that the state of Texas followed EPA's best practices with respect to modeling, source apportionment modeling, with taking data and connecting it up actually to reality as opposed to the absolute values that EPA itself said distort actual performance. And EPA said, no, we're going to go back to the old way that we've told you not to do it in this particular case. It certainly raises a presumption. And all of the other facts that are laid out in copious detail in the brief suggest that there's just something wrong. And the reality that there is something wrong with the decision-making process, again, should not allow the EPA to be able to cloak what it has done behind this five-factor test that it can weigh any way it chooses in any case that it chooses. Because if it can do that, then the regulated community can never know what is or isn't appropriate, what it can or can't do for compliance, and that is just not allowed under the precedence of this court and of the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Questions from the bench? Okay, thank you. I think that was the last speaker, right? We'll take the matter under submission. Thank you very much.